Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 189, part 1, How's Your Memory? Today is Friday, April 8th, 2011. Yes, this is your hostess with the mostest. And welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Hey, time flies by, especially when your computer crashes and you have old software and you try to build a new computer and the old software. Anyways, it's a long and very sad, sad story, but I am happy to be back. And just a little bit about that music intro. It was just a neighborhood group trying to, you know, copy somebody's music and all that. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. So here we are back. This is the month of April. Wow. Where did March go? I think we were in the computer world abyss, just kind of spinning around trying to figure things out. Yeah. Okay. I fired myself as hostess with the mostest, let the domain name expire, and we went through a little bit of a drama, I might say, with that. Got over that. The search engines helped me out, evidently, because I couldn't even deal with it. And but we are learning Windows 7. We are going to be searching for some editing software. Now, I want you to know that Pastor Paul's messages are not edited at all, obviously, if you've listened to his messages. But one thing, you know, back in the recording of the cassette days, way back, there was, when the tape turned, you had that little bit of a break. And so your hostess with the mostest and all of her diligence has to go in and cut that. And that's about what I do. And then sometimes we have some long, you know, where the recording audio guys were asleep, and they were maybe talking about the sports game. And then when Pastor Paul, he started, you know, they didn't turn on the tape, or maybe they turned on the tape and then started talking, and he was still putting his mic on, you know. So I have to clean up the beginning and the end. So I'm kind of the cleanup crew on the tape deal. Anyways, so just some little, but I'm looking for some editing software because, you know, we want these podcasts to be kind of cleaned up and fun, and you don't want to have to sit there. It's like, well, when is this thing going to start? You know, we got a 2-minute delay in the beginning. So a little bit of housekeeping news for you. Let's see. Oh, the website, believe me, I'm not even going to give you the links. I don't even want you to go. Okay, now that I'm saying that, you probably all rush to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org, and go there. But, you know, it's a wreck. I have to clean it up. Actually, I want to let you know, I fired myself as web madam, okay? So, but then I had to hire myself back again because nobody wanted the job, you know? So if anybody out there is looking for a job, and by the way, your the payment that you get for the job, you'll receive from the Lord because we don't have any money down here. Okay, enough with all the sad stories. Okay, so don't go to www.pastorball.org because I'm going to redo it the best that I can using old software. Front Pages 2003, which Microsoft doesn't even want to admit to. So there we go. But enough with all of that and my sad, sad story. Let me turn down this. Getting a little feedback. Yeah, Pastor Paul, he's gotten a lot of feedback in the days too. All right, so what do we want to talk about real quickly? The messages for the month of April. Okay, let me give you the rundown here. The month of April, I'll probably redo this. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, the intro here. But anyways, I'm going to be redoing everything. I'm just a totally dissatisfied hostess with the mostest, web madam, and I'm just firing all of those. And you know, I'm going to hire myself as the chief marketing technologist and just get rid of all these things, you know. It's like you get multiple personalities. Okay, so here are the messages for the month of April. The first one, which is where I was in the belly of the computer abyss, the big fish, the big computer fish. How's your memory? It's a good one. Second, now I see. Third, I would be persuaded if, ooh, we know some people that's going to really minister to. I would be persuaded if, my God, there we have it, four messages. So we've got the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, 29th. There you go. I am glad to be back. Listen, you have to hear this. The car alarm. Can you believe it? Yeah, it goes off all the time. Have a great month. I really did miss you.
Is entitled, How's Your Memory? Before we enter into Jonah 2 and 7, which says, When my soul fainteth within me, then I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. So before we start, let's go to Psalm 77 and 3, where David remembered the Lord also. I remembered the Lord and was troubled. I remember the Lord and was troubled. Sometimes remembering the Lord is painful. Sometimes remembering the Lord is painful to our conscience because it condemns us. I think also it is impossible to remember him and all his goodness when, like Jonah or David, we have run away from our particular ministries, our particular calling. I know there's a lot out there that are listening to me that somewhere in their life they have left what God has called them to do. They don't have any peace in their life. And it's painful for them to remember the Lord. But then again, I believe that in all the Christians' lives, in all believers, that sometimes it gets to be so that we don't understand what God is telling us, unintelligible to us. They get lost in the profound meditation, and nothing has left them but a desponding sigh. Have you ever felt that way in your walk, where you kind of get lost and in your ministry, you're listening on the radio? You listening here tonight? But then Paul says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings. That's when we start to pray in the Spirit, when you don't understand. It says, we know not how we ought to pray, but the Spirit intercedes for us. So we need to pray in the Spirit. And then again in Psalm 77, let's look at verse 4. I am so troubled I cannot speak. Have you ever been so troubled that you couldn't speak? Sometimes when I look at the people down here in the mission, I get so troubled that I can't hardly even speak. He adds that he was so cut down and lifeless that he could not speak. I see that a lot, where people are cut down and are so low that they can't speak. I've even experienced that myself, even young in my young life, as a probably 12 or 13 years old. A woman came in this week, she had four children, actually five, but she forgot about one of them, said she had four, there's actually five there. And her mother, which was the grandmother of these children, did all the talking. She was 70 years old. She says, Pastor, I've come up here to take my children back. My daughter here is having a nervous fit, is despondent, and the daughter just sitting there. And all of these children are there, and I'm looking at all of this. They had one boy there, probably was 9 years old, and then all the way down. But I noticed that the grandmother did all of the talking. Well, I said, how are you going to get back? She says, I'm going to Mississippi and I need money. I have no money for gas. Well, I said, sorry to say, this ministry has no money, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $10, and then you go out, and I'll write you a letter, and I'll send you out to the other churches. And I'm sure that after they find out that I gave you $10, they'll give you $10 too. That's the way it goes, isn't it? Provoke one another to good works. She says, well, you know, I think that might work. And still, the daughter was just sitting there, staring ahead. So I started to challenge the mother and look at the mother real close. And I'd flash my eyes over the daughter, and I'd flash over to the grandma, and flash to the daughter, and flash back and forth until I got her attention. I said, let me go in my office and I'll write out a check and a letter and I'll be back. I came back out and I said, well, I wrote the check for $20. And of course, then she knew it was $10, and I said, go out and provoke folks with this check. And I looked at this woman and I thought, now the mother. And I thought, oh, in great troubles, the Spirit fails. And it fails so that it shows up on the exterior members of the body and flows back into its fountain, source. And so the limbs stand motionless, and I'd seen this when I minister in prisons and also in the psych wards. and the whole body trembles, and the eyes remain fixed, and the tongue forgets its office, and the people become like stone. And I thought, oh my God, what a work we have to do. What God has called us to do here on the north side, dealing with, towards the end of the month, coming in to eat in here some 700 and 800 people. Little kids even that are sitting like stone. You see, I know this, that the antidote for all of this is to see someone else's calamity. To see if it would be another calamity, Jane. See someone else in trouble. See someone that's in trouble and yet stands and trusts in the Lord. Having done all, stand. And that's what you have to do, preacher, when you're in your ministry and you're going through your things. Be that example, and having done all, stand. But she was so troubled she could not even speak. She was so down, she was so lifeless. Yet her whole body was in a massive tremble. Her grief was so violent it could find no vent. It actually was strangling her. She needed somebody to speak a word of deliverance to her. Someone to say, hey. So I had to give the attention over to her. And I says, well, I understand that you have given your mother here, the grandmother of these children, a 1977 Ford. Now, how many miles per gallon does this car? And I had to shake her into reality. How many miles would a big car like that get? Is it a big car, a little car, medium-sized car? It's a big car, isn't it? Yeah, it's a big car. How many miles do you suppose that it gets? I bet it gets better on the road than it does in town, doesn't it? So I got her brain working. She started adding it up, and I said, well, it looks to me like it's going to cost about $150 to get down there for gas. You know, why don't you get all these kids ready, bring them down here on a Monday morning. Don't go out when all these drunken nuts are out on the road. Wait till Monday morning. Wait till they're all so drunk and out of it that they're in the hospital, and then go. And then some other things, and a little humor, and a little deliverance, a little truth, a little talking, a little shouting, and pretty soon she started to come around. Oh, and I said to her, listen, let no appearing impossibilities, and someone had robbed her house and taken everything out of the house. I said, at this particular time, dear, let no appearing, and I said appearing twice, impossibilities make you question God's accomplishment of any of His gracious words. Our God is able. Are you hearing this? And preacher, if you're out there and you started to work, God is going to help you finish it. Listen, you listening out there, don't let your depression of spirit lead you to the valley of despair. And there's a lot of that going on right now. People are in the valley of despair, and I know from the phone calls that I get. And they need to see someone, glory to God, stand in a calamity. Then Psalm 78 and 35 says, and they remembered that God was their rock, And the high God, and his arm is not shortened, by the way, comes out of that high place. And they remembered that God was their rock, their redeemer, their high God. See, sometimes it takes great, hard, sharp strokes to wake up the sleepy memories. And I think that's what God is doing right now. Reflection followed, in this verse, infliction. A lot of times we don't reflect on God until we are inflicted. And then we start to seek out God. Because here in this verse, he had, and he alone had been their shelter and their fountain of supply and their foundation and their unchangeable friend. And the same is true for us. But see, sometimes we have to get in a hard place before we are shook, and we are shook in our memories, and we look back and we say, God has helped me before. God has been my shelter. God has been my fountain of supply. He has always been my foundation. He has always been the unchangeable friend. I'm the one that changed. So that's where many are today. And it says in the end, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. And everything that will be shaken will be shaken. God is the shaker, you are the shaky. You hearing this? And so God is getting our attention right now, and oh, what a need there is right now for a ministry like ours down here on the north side. This afternoon I was starting to think about one other person, Jonah, who remembered the Lord in the belly of a fish. You ever feel like you were in the belly of a fish? Jonah 2 and 7 says like this, when my soul fainteth within me, then I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Let me say something here. I believe that any preacher that has had no experience of trials and tribulations or any persecutions whatsoever, I'm afraid then we are with a very shallow preacher. He's never had a whale of a time. Are you hearing this? I believe that I have been in the belly of a whale for a good long time, and many times, but I have a whale of an experience to share with you. That my God is able, and even though that I'm down under and in the deep, and the same is happening all over, people are despondent, people are in despair. But I believe this experience of the saints is the treasure of the church. They can share with people. But I believe every child of God who has tried and prove the promises of God is a true witness, is a walking, talking epistle known and read of all men, that has a proven testimony to share, and he can be of help to others. And all the past saints who were men, it says, of like passions, it tells us in the Bible. Hasn't this helped us when we go ahead and read about them, how God has delivered them? I mean, if they would have been any different, we could never have been instructed by what they had suffered. And so, preacher, as we go on and we go through the trials and the tribulations and all the different things that are involved in ministering in the end time, and especially in a ghetto situation, which, let's face it, every area in the United States, it's either going to be rich or poor. There isn't going to be any middlemen pretty soon. There's going to be a ghetto situation all over this land and all over the world. And it says in the end that men's hearts will fail. Well, maybe then that we go through this early, we'll have something to share with folks. But if other people had not suffered these things, if past saints hadn't, and saints even now, in these last few years, hadn't suffered any of these things, we might say, yeah, but they had more power, but they had more help. No, they endured the same trials and pleaded the same promises before the same God. The same God that is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that an encouragement? Oh, if you're in a calamitous state, I don't even know if there's such a word, but let's just use it anyway. If you are sitting and you're in a very calamitous state, why don't you share your calamity with somebody? That's a good way to get rid of it anyway. Why not? Why not share it and allow God to deliver you while you're sharing it? But anyway, if the men in the Bible would have been any different, or if God would have been changeable, or if the promises were changed, all the ancient experiences would be but an idle tale to us. But no, there are people going through the very same things right now. No, when those things happened in the Bible, they happened for us. We then can conclude that the same thing will happen with us. We read that God's people were delivered. We also can believe that we will be delivered. Why not? Why do you think they're in there? And so tonight we will look at Jonah and invite you to make its lessons a practical guide to yourselves. First, we use the text on the child of God, and secondly, for the sinner awakened and aroused. The text is for those who have a fear of the Lord, for such was Jonah. Because with all of his mistakes, he was a man of God. And even though that he ran from God, he never left him. God, it says, brought him back and he used him. And so I think we first ought to talk about Jonah's condition. He certainly was in a terrible condition, wasn't he? Wouldn't you call that a terrible condition, being in the belly of a stinking fish? Think of it, sitting in a stinking fish. What would you be thinking about if you were down there in the belly of that fish? Now, when you think of it, you think, well, he had a lot of room, and he had a stool in there, and he had a light. No, he didn't have a lot of room in there. He was right up next to some kidneys or something, whatever the fish has in there. Huh? He might have a little room where he could just sort of sit all scrunched up. Could you imagine yourself in such a situation? Well, I can. Slime covering your whole body. You think you got it tough? Cold and dark and all alone. Think of it, all alone. You know, you can be in a crowded room and be all alone. How many know that? I remember when I was about 13 years old. 12, maybe 13. And I was desperately in love with my English teacher. She didn't even know I existed. But I went to a party and the teacher was there. She didn't pay no attention to me. Oh, how alone I was that night. And, you know, many times in my life I've been around a lot of people, but sometimes you're all alone. You're in the belly of a stinking fish. Sound like a fish story? But do you know what I'm talking about? but worse than all of this was probably his own dark reflections, for his conscience would say to him, and you know when you're all alone, sometimes your conscience speaks to you. You know what they say, let your conscience be your guide? Uh-uh. Sometimes your conscience, now there's a good conscience, and there's a bad conscience, and there's a condemning conscience, and there's a redeeming conscience. But you see, the conscience needs to be taught the grace message, doesn't it? Are you in the belly of a fish while you're listening to me here? Are you on the radio? Are you in the belly of a fish while you're out there and everything, but you're still in the belly of a fish? Maybe your conscience would say to you like Jonah, whose fault is it that you're here? Yours, of course. Your pride and your self-love kept you from going to Nineveh, that great city, to deliver God's message. Oh, I thought, what a terrible feeling. What a miserable, gut-jerking feeling when a man feels he's all alone, and he all alone is responsible for his own misery. Now, are you listening out there? Do you feel that way? Maybe you're in a divorce. Maybe a child's death, and you feel like you're responsible. Maybe a jail sentence. Maybe losing a job. Maybe you feel it's all your fault. Well, I say this to you. If it were unavoidable that I should suffer, then okay. But if I brought this all upon myself by my own folly, then there is a double bitterness in the gall. I don't think we need to remind people about their fall and their bounce and their wounds. One time, I had a very legal sister downstairs. I called her Miss Skinny Lips. Tea sipper. You know what I mean? And somehow she got behind, that's when we had lines of people, and she got behind the counter and some woman come up and she had that death stare on her. And she was ragged and she was dirty and her hair was hanging down and she was smelled. And she was, I could see she was a beautiful woman, but she had the hang down look. She was in the belly of the fish look. She was walking through the line, and she felt responsible for something. I knew not what it was, but Sister Legal Lips got a hold of her and said, have you straightened out your life yet since the fall? And all these people were hearing all of this. And the sister just looked at her with a stone stare. She was ready for suicide is what was happening. And so I thought, well, this has got to be stopped right here. And I said, sister, who put you behind the counter here? You don't belong here. We don't preach while we serve soup. We don't condemn people so they can't even enjoy their meal. Now, I would like it very, very much if you would get your out of here. Well, I said it and I was glad. I said, body, out of here. That's exactly what that woman needed to hear. And then I gave her the message of mercy and love and forgiveness. And she started to come around and she started to respond. But see, here was this Miss Legal Lips. Told ya. Prophesied this was going to happen, so on, huh? But anyway, Jonah was probably thinking, now I can't even help myself. No way. It would offer no purpose to be self-willed now. I'm down here in the belly of this fish. I can't claim my way out of here. I can't say by faith I'm not here. I can't say this is just a symptom. I can't say if I could positive think my way out of here or have some kind of probability reasoning, and there's the ministry on probabilities. I mean, I've been to 1,004 seminars on the how-tos, says Jonah. I've heard 1,801 testimonies. But how can I ever get up and give one now? I have utterly failed. How can I ever give a testimony? I never want to see anybody ever again. I'm all covered with seaweed. My state, it is helpless apart from God, hopeless. Are you feeling that way, you listening on the radio? Well, listen to it. And I think also, you listening out there, that many of you Christians are brought into such a circumstance through no fault of their own. You may be poor and needy, but have no helper and no one cares, and so there you are, by no fault of your own. No voice to speak a word of sympathy because everybody's so busy taking care of themselves. Yes, I believe the best of men, the best of women, may be brought into the worst positions by no fault of their own. None. I don't think we should ever judge any character by circumstances. Don't say this is a bad character because he's in some kind of a circumstance. Well, you know, a diamond may suffer under the hammer and the chisel. Well, then there are pebbles that bathe in the brook. I believe the most wicked are permitted to live in high places on the earth, while the poor people, while the righteous, sit at the rich man's gate with dogs as companions. Also, beautiful flowers grow amongst the briar patches. Pearls lie in the mud on the ocean floor. So judge not by appearances. For many times, the heirs of light walk in darkness. Well, doesn't it say in the Bible that his light shineth out of the darkness? Oh, and how fond they are of quoting scriptures. Aren't there a lot of princes that sit on dunghills? Well, look at Job. And I believe many times God accepts his men, may be brought low as Jonah was. Well, didn't Jesus go into hell for 3 days? But also the hearts of God's servants may, at times, their hearts sometimes faint in them. You ever felt like your heart has fainted? You remember the first time you had to get up in English class? Maybe you were in a debate class and you had to get up in front of maybe 600, 700, 1,000 people in an assembly hall, and your heart fainted? Now let me tell you can be shaky-kneed, you can be nervous, you can be everything, but when your heart faints, brother, you're in trouble. How many heard that one? Ever happened to you? How many have had heart faint? Huh? Now, that's a feeling and a half, ain't it? How many are in this? Oh, my God, hear it. But the hearts of God's servants may sometimes faint within them. Absolutely faint in them. First, by a renewed sense of sin. Oh, there's some of us that have enjoyed years of total assurance of our pardon and our justification. We have walked in the light of Jesus Christ, and I know you're listening to me out there. We have known the power of the blood. We have experienced many victories. Many times our hearts have leaped with joy. To the Scripture, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Hooray, we cried. Thank you, Lord, we shouted. And yet, now here we stand at the cross of Jesus Christ, and we look at the record of our sins nailed to the cross as a token of their full discharge. And yet, and I'm getting it on the phone all the time, and yet at this time we are suffering an interval of anxious questionings. And unbelief may be overcoming us like a dark cloud. Our heart is sinking maybe for the third time. We start to doubt the Word of God. It is possible that our faith is staggered right then and there. And so our old sins have risen up and are threatening our peace, and we start to condemn ourselves. Well, at such time, then our subconscious takes over, and it will remind us of our shortcomings. And Satan works on your shortcomings, and he works through your subconscious. And he may say something like this to you: "So you're a child of God." Why, your thoughts are at the gutter level and you haven't changed? No, not one bit. You've been fooling yourself. This is all a facade. There's nothing to it. How many have felt that way? And then he'll go on, all this talk about faith and love and hope. You are a bore. Where is your anointing now, brother, sister? And you might go on with something like this, your personality. What personality? You got the personality of a mugwump. Even your looks are repulsive. Okay, now here we go with the looks, see. And then he'll question you, and he'll say, "Well, aren't they?" And then you'll agree and say, "Well, I guess so. I don't know." And you just totally start to fall apart. Get heart faintings. Soul fainting. Now listen, you listen on the radio, you listen on this tape, you listen in here. Don't take your eyes off of the cross when Satan stirs up your innards and your inward depths. Don't look within for marks and evidences, because you'll start to churn up all of your inward corruptions. You start to legalize on yourself, and you start to put laws on yourself, and all the old junk starts to raise up. And all these inward corruptions then that will pour into your soul like such dark memories and black forebodings, and you will cry, "I am utterly lost. I am unchanged. I am unloved. I am unsaved. Where shall I turn? Where shall I go? I have been fooled." And when you ask such questions by looking inwardly for the answer instead of looking to the cross and the finished work, oh, here at Legalism, Satan will talk to you. And then he'll send someone in for the kill, and you will call it confirmation. But confirmation from what spirit? Be very careful when you're waiting for confirmation to come from somebody, because a lot of times someone will come with a confirming word that's not of God. They are sent by the wrong spirit because you've received the wrong spirit yourself, and that spirit is familiar to where you are at. And so now you'll say, that settles it. Confirmation came. I'm unsaved, unwanted, unloved, and I knew this, and God spoke to me and all that, and it has nothing to do with the Word of God. It isn't Bible, and it is the wrong spirit. And all kinds of people are calling me, but I got confirmation. But confirmation from who? Have you ever got confirmation from an enemy? You bet you have. How many are hearing this? Have you ever got confirmation from an enemy? So many times people think, well, that settles it. That's exactly what I was thinking. But what spirit were you in? Well, they will not lift up or cheer up or clear up. They will legally strip you of all hope and believing and trust, and leave you standing there naked and miserable and poor, and it's not Bible. Well, in these very times, you be very careful who you confide in. Very, very careful who you confide in. Don't tell everybody all of your business, see? How many are hearing this? Stay away from blabbermouths. Well, how many know what a blabbermouth is? You ever seen somebody that works their mouth? I mean, their mouth works. If you look at their mouth, you could just take a picture of their mouth. Their mouth works. That's what you call a blabbermouth. Stay away from them. Stay away from all the evil questioners. All the immature sweetie pies. What is an immature sweetie pie? Ooh, that's someone that's been in the Lord for 45 days. Knows everything about God. Say amen, somebody. Or stay away from the nervous legalist who is always walking a tightrope with no balancing pole. He'll help you fall all the way into total despair. I know cases in my own ministry where people have committed suicide with a little help from their friend. Just a little help from their friends. Just a little confirming word that they were worthless and no good and idiots and boring and not of God and all of that. Why is it people forget all the beautiful scriptures? There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Why is it they forget that God is the unchangeable, loving, beautiful, wonderful Lord? Why is it that your salvation is of the Lord, not of this person that comes to you and tells you that you don't have him, that you're not saved? Why is that? See, sometimes in order to get out of being a legalist, you have to fall into trouble yourself. You have to go through something to come out of legalism. Now, if you've been to court and you've been before the judge, here come the judge, and you've been judged, and then you've been called, let's just say for the sake of saying it, behind the seat, you put on the robe, you're going to have a little more compassion for the person that's out there. Because everything isn't black and white. Everything isn't cut and dried. How many are hearing this? But anyway, this type of person will help you fall into total, utter despair. Now, there are people out here at St. Peter, and there's people out here at Stillwater a prison out here, and they're in total despair. There's people sitting in church that are in total despair. Are you hearing this? Total despair. Living a lie and just in suffering all the time. But anyway, is it any wonder that under such pressure that the Christian soul faints in him? Remember this also, that soul fainting is the very worst form of fainting. Even though Jonah is in the fish's belly and he couldn't use his eyes, and he couldn't use his arms, and he couldn't use his legs, it mattered not if all of these would fail him, but for his soul to faint. What a horror indeed. To give up the fight. Don't you ever help someone give up the fight. Don't you ever condemn someone's soul. There are so many out there, and all these little children all over this whole land, and all over, especially in this neighborhood, I only know from once I speak here, that are already coming up with a sort of a condemnation on themselves. And all kinds of folks to help them out along the way. But isn't this true of us? Just like Jonah? A soul faint? See, our other faculties may go to sleep, but when our faith swoons and our confidence staggers, don't things go hard for us? Huh? Now, this is a get-up message. This is not a lay-down message. I'm just trying to help you out of here. Now, I see some people inside there now already fallen into a melancholy, icky old spirit. Get up. Now, I'm trying to deliver you. I'm not trying to put you down inside some kind of a hole. I'm telling you what not to fall for. But see, on the road sometimes, people fall into the melancholy pit because that's what they're used to falling into. They're used to walking 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Huh? Get out. Either they're all the way up or they're all the way down. Now don't you fall for it. But anyway, now when this does happen to you, don't feel like a hypocrite. For most valiant soldiers of the cross know by personal experience what this dark sensation means. The same faintness I'm talking about will come over us when we see a prolonged trial just coming. We see a trial coming and all. We already fall into that trap. We already fall into the melancholy. Oh, God. You haven't even felt the cruel jab yet. And you say in your spirit, oh, no, not again, Lord. But anyway, you know it's coming when your guts start to churn. Let's say, lose your legs in the ring of controversy, like a boxer loses his legs. He hasn't got a leg to stand on. Maybe his arms are good yet and everything, but he loses his legs. He gets faint. You look over into the opponent's corner. Mr. Situation, oh, they look so big and so full of assurance. Maybe his mother is down in the audience. Kill, Sonny! Huh?
mama prophetess or somebody? I don't know. What would you call her? And finally, the bell sounds. You have already fainted in your soul and in your spirit. And you say, oh, God, here we go again. And you get yourself beat to death. Why is that? Because you've fallen for the oldest trick that Satan has. To make you feel utterly lost.
So there you have it. How's your memory? Be sure to listen to part two this Sunday, April 10th. Have a great weekend.
El gato mo, el gato mo, el gato mo, el gato mo. When the Lord get ready, el gato mo.